Welcome back to everybody. It's Christmas Eve here at the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for John today. I'll be here Monday as well. 10 minutes past the hour, and as you just heard the Big O say, the markets are closed for the holiday. The Dow ended down 7.64 points, 30,122. The S&P 500 ended up 13 points to 3703, and NASDAQ was up 33 to 12,804. We also have another record low for mortgage interest rates this week. Just when you thought they couldn't get any lower, Freddie Mac, for its primary mortgage market survey, announced that the record had been broken again, and a 30-year fixed rate loan is somewhere averaging around 2.66, I think. I'll have all of those numbers at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little bit about refinancing. Take your questions. You can always zip those over us via text, 312-981-7200. Right now, we've got Ian Schur, editor-at-large at CNET, cnet.com. He's calling in a few minutes. All right, well, we won't talk to Ian just yet. But some of the things that are coming up today that I know he is going to want to talk about, gift cards, which if you, I talked about this last hour, if you still don't have your Christmas gifts in order, gift cards are going to be the way to go. And they will get there, hopefully, momentarily. Instantaneously, no need to have deferred gratification. You can just go out and send those out. So gift cards, we'll be talking about that. Some of the other last-minute shoppers I saw yesterday on Michigan Avenue had bags from Best Buy, which has all sorts of interesting, non-techie sort of stuff this year. And my favorite place to go always to find that last minute gift for somebody's really hard to buy for, I always used to go to bookstores. Bookstores today are so much more than books. They've got games and toys and puzzles and learning things and tchotchkes and lots of good stuffing, things that you could stuff into a stocking, put under the tree. So you might want to reach out and touch your favorite bookstore. They probably have something great. And you know what's interesting? As somebody who's written 14 books, I can say that there is nothing better than when somebody actually buys a book these days as opposed to the audio. And it's fine. Audiobooks are great and, you know, digital books are great. But holding a book in your hand is really an amazing thing. It just feels really good. And in fact, actual book sales are up dramatically this year. I think I'm not the only one who felt like they'd had way too much screen time. I don't know about you. Zoom, of course, has zoomed its stock price thanks to all the... It has done a tremendous thing for us, right? It's given us a lot of benefit. But at the end of the day, I'm tired of looking at myself, on my screen. And it's very nice to just hold a book and have some non-digital time. Puzzles are another thing that have just sort of flown off the shelves this year. Costco had a stack of puzzles that was probably like 8 feet high. I felt like it was almost one of those Jenga games that our kids used to play, where you had to pull out the wooden chunk and hope that everything didn't fall over. That's kind of how they were stacked up. So lots of good things that you can check in on before time runs out at midnight tonight. All right, Ryan Burrow has your news and market update. Ryan?
Yeah, the market's closed for the shortened holiday a little bit early. Dow finishing the day up 70 points, S&P 500 up 13, NASDAQ up 33. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, winter weather advisory in effect in LaPorte County through Christmas afternoon. Some cloud cover today, flurries possible, high of just 18 degrees tonight. Mostly cloudy, flurries possible again, a low of 12. And on Christmas, we'll be sunny, but keep the gloves and hot chocolate handy. Our high just 22 degrees. It's 14 degrees at O'Hare, 15 at Midway, and 14 degrees. Make that 14 degrees in Aurora, 15 at Midway, and 14 degrees at O'Hare.
WGN traffic, our only trouble spot is the Kennedy right now. Inbound from O'Hare to downtown will take you 29 minutes. Your delay starts at Western and goes all the way into the Burn Interchange. Outbound is slow from Montrose to Harlem. It's 26 minutes back out to O'Hare. And the outbound Dan Ryan is slow from the Eisenhower to 18th Street. It's 13 minutes from 95th to downtown. I'm Gabe Salgado for WGN Traffic Central.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Merry Christmas Eve to you all. The markets are closed officially, so we will just have a very very quiet in terms of the market anyway. Lots going on with stimulus. But right now what we want to do is talk with Ian Schur, editor-at-large of CNET at CNET.com. Hi, Ian. Welcome to the program. Why don't I hear Ian? Oh.
I don't know.
There we go. Now I hear you.
Oh, here I am.
Yes, here you are with us. We're so glad about that.
I was worried there was a lump of coal in my microphone there.
Fortunately, no, just a technological malfunction on my side. I didn't push the button correctly. Listen, so there's so much good stuff on CNET today. I was looking at it, and I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, maybe just start with kind of your year end. You have the CNET 2020 Innovation Awards winners that made things better in a difficult year. I really thank God for technology, right?
Well, thank God, and also it's also been kind of a center of problem, right? So it's kind of my favorite quote from The Simpsons, right? To technology, the creator of and answer to all of life's problems.
That's right.
Although it was for beer for Homer. But, you know, the thing is that's interesting is that there's a number of technologies that came out this year that really kind of blew our minds. And every year we try to kind of look at a lot of the stuff that rises above the fold, right? Because it's easy to just get into the gadget conversation. So I think one of the more interesting one, obviously, if you've done any research on how the vaccines worked out, there is a huge technological story behind it. It's amazing. There's so much to read about that, of course, on CNET as well. But the technology behind it may change vaccines forever. And they're even talking about cancer and all sorts of this. That's really cool. But in the tech world in particular, there are two devices that stood out to me. One is called the Oculus Quest 2. Mm-hmm. It's a headset that you wear. It's got virtual reality. So it takes a screen and it puts it so close to your eyes that your brain is tricked into thinking you're in the game world. And what really made it interesting is that it got cheap enough and comfortable enough to wear, and it still looks nerdy, but the apps in it are so good at this point that I have taken a lot of people and put them in it, obviously before the pandemic. And the reaction is almost always overwhelmingly positive. Hmm. People are so amazed by what they're able to do. I took a 360 camera a long time ago. I plunked it down when my son took his first steps because we were in San Francisco. Parents-in-law were in Maryland. And I said, ooh, this is going to be great. So I took the video of it, 360, and then I showed it to the grandmother. And she got to watch his first steps in 360. Like, she could turn around and watch it from different angles.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So that type of stuff is really cool. And I think it's like there's a lot of that type of stuff that's starting to happen. As well, there's some easier stuff, like if you've ever heard of mesh Wi-Fi, it's this idea of having multiple base stations for your Wi-Fi, not just one modem like most of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. But the thing that's interesting about it now is that it's gotten really, really good and it's gotten cheap. We're talking about a world where suddenly you're able to buy this stuff for under $200. And it's especially you think about all the working we're doing and everything. It's just it changes the dynamic entirely.
So Apple had a couple of really huge breakthroughs this year that you noted on the website. One is the Apple M1 chip, and then the Apple EarPods took a big leap forward as well. Talk about those.
Sure. So the M1 chip is probably the nerdiest thing I can talk about, and that's after talking about virtual reality.
Come on, nerds will take over the world this year. It's in 2021.
Yeah, exactly. So the M1 is actually a really interesting thing if you get into it. What it is essentially is a phone chip, the same chip that is similar chip to what's in your iPhone and your iPad, but it's powering computers now. And what's been really interesting is that as phones have become more capable, we're actually increasingly living in a world where the low power and more capable and better battery life phones can actually power a real computer. So there's a MacBook Air Apple released. You can buy it today for $1,000. I know a lot of people, that's a lot, but just to hear me out. And one of the great things about it is that it has no fan at all. I've never worked with a laptop without a fan.
Wow.
And it's incredible. And, you know, also a lot of laptops, like they get so, you know, the fan gets so loud, it feels like it's going to take off. And the bottom of it is so hot, you could cook an egg. Nothing like that here. And the promise of this, of course, is mind-blowing when you think about it, right? Taking technology that so far has been rather stagnant for the last few years and really being able to offer it in thinner ways, less battery consumption, all that type of stuff. So that's what the M1 promises. With the headphones, I think one of the interesting things that we saw is that, you know, at CNET, we're big friends of the Dolby Atmos, right? The ability to take sound and send it all over the room and make it seem like you're in the theater, right, with stuff kind of flinging around you. And it wasn't something that you could do unless you had a ton of money until recently. Well, now Apple's actually come up with a thing where they do virtual surround sound. So they're able to actually take the sound that's coming out of your headphones and trick your brain into thinking that the sound's coming from in front of you or behind you or from the left or the right. It's incredible. And we've tested on a number of different things, including Dolby Atmos movies. And look, you obviously it's not the same as being in a theater, but you know, these days I'll take whatever I can get, and it's pretty good.
So that's sort of interesting. One thing, a couple of years ago, I was out at Stanford visiting, and I got a chance to sit and listen to an entrepreneur who was working on earbuds that would allow you to go into a concert facility. And you know, sometimes concerts are just so loud now, right? They just this might be my age talking. I'm not going to comment on that. But
no, I, you're not wrong. A lot of my audiology friends would agree with you.
it's so loud. But anyway, you know, they would allow you to put in these earbuds and then where it would make you feel like wherever you wanted to be. If you wanted to be closer up but at a lower volume, it will put you there. And it would balance the sound so that no matter where you sat in the auditorium, it would feel like you were actually right in the middle in the perfect seats. And I wonder, that company didn't take off. I guess it's more like 4 or 5 years ago that I listened to him talk about it. But this idea that Apple could come in and just basically solve these really difficult technological problems is fascinating to me.
It absolutely is. And I think what's interesting about Apple and what has always kind of interested me about this company and over the decade that I've covered it is that they oftentimes, they're not truly inventing something new. Oftentimes they're finding ways to package together technologies in a way that we haven't seen that's really compelling. So it's not like Dolby Atmos didn't exist before. And there were very expensive headphones you could buy that simulated Dolby Atmos. But there wasn't anything that was $250 that could do it. And so it's that type of thing where they find ways to really make it easy to use. They're able to take technologies and make them cheaper. And as a result, they really catch on. And that's what I've always appreciated about what Apple's trying to do for the market. Because, of course, anything they do affects the rest of the tech industry, even if they represent a very small slice of the actual market.
You know, Ian, there's so much more I want to talk to you about, including the story about that MIT researcher. But we got to go right now. But I will talk to you again soon. And I know John will be back next week. Ian Schur is editor-at-large of CNET.com. Hey, Ian, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Take care.
I will. Talk to you soon. It's 12:35 on WGN, the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Elise Glink sitting in for John today. I'll be back Monday as well. John's getting a nice long break for the holiday. And delighted to have you here. So two things I want to talk about this segment. One is that mortgage interest rates hit yet another record low. I can't tell you, this is just really amazing to me that we are ending the year at a record low when we've had 14 or 15 other record lows this year. This is so, just in 1 year, the bond market went basically nuts, and mortgage interest rates fell and fell and fell and fell and fell. So the 30-year fixed rate mortgage, according to Freddie Mac, averaged 2.66 with average of 0.75%. The 15-year rate averaged 2.19%. That's an average, with an average of a 0.5%, down a little bit last week. And the 5-year Treasury indexed hybrid adjustable rate mortgage averaged 2.79%. A year ago, it was at almost 3.5%. Everything a year ago was over 3%. The 30-year was at 3.75% last year. It's now 2.66, 2 2/3. You know, we talked about this the last couple of days. If you haven't refinanced in a while, if your interest rate is over 4% and you still have, let's say, 8 years or more left on your mortgage, 10 years or more, it's probably worth looking into refinancing. And I gave David Hochberg my four rules for a home run refinance yesterday when he was on the show. And, you know, basically what he said is that my four rules are exactly right, right? Number one, can you lower your interest rate? Number two, can you lower your monthly payment? Very important. Number three, can you control your closing costs? Number four, if you can control your closing costs, can you also shorten your loan term? If you can get all four things in a refi, it's a home run. And, you know, shortening your loan term of all of those things is the thing that's going to save you the most money. 773's comment, the Fed has to keep rates low because of the federal debt. Absolutely. Fed is absolutely keeping it low. But it's and they are buying back tremendous amounts of debt. And really what I think it's not even just the federal debt, but I think the issue here is also, you know, the fact that we've just got an economy that's not really firing on all cylinders. So what do I expect to happen for next year? And I'm going to do more of my, you know, here's my predictions for and forecasts and things that you ought to do for 2021. But I do think interest rates are going to stay very low, probably for the next 3 years. And by very low, we've had very low interest rates for the last 12 years. I mean, for the last 20 years, you know, historically, you know, interest rates, mortgage interest rates at 8% were awesome. And now we're, you know, dropping all the way down to, you know, 2.66%. I mean, that's even more awesome, right? Talk about a holiday gift. But the next couple of years, the Fed has already made clear they're keeping rates low. This is a great time to refinance and just save yourself some money. And remember, the average family is saving themselves over $300 a month, $3,600 a year. This is after-tax money. I mean, talk about a Christmas gift, right? You can definitely do get this kind of refinance and really enjoy that. 630, what about the Fannie Mae surcharge imposed a few weeks back? That's a great point. So Fannie Mae, and I believe Freddie Mac is following suit, they imposed a half a basis point charge for refinances, not for purchase. And it's unclear to me why they did that. Well, I know why they did it. They're trying to bolster their reserves, so when they come out of, you know, it's not really bankruptcy, but they're, you know, they've been in sort of in the penalty box now for a long time, that they can actually go back to being traded as independent companies. And I think they're trying to bolster that cash requirement. Right now, in conservancy, they are required to hand over every dollar of profits to the federal government, and they have handed over billions, and that's been great for everybody but them. So they're trying to bolster their cash reserves so that they can come out of conservancy. On the other hand, you know, they're probably guessing that now's the best time to impose this because interest rates are so low and people are saving money. But what that does and is that it just cuts back on affordability, right? Because if you're buying a new house, this is why they didn't do it for buying. If you're buying a new house, you need every single dollar you have. They figure if you're refinancing, maybe you don't need every single dollar and they can have some. So I think that's what's going on with that surcharge. But in any case, it's important to just kind of keep that in mind, that interest rates are at a remarkable place. And the Mortgage Bankers Association chief economist, who I spoke with about a month ago, told me that he expects that a full 20 million Americans can benefit from refinancing. They will get some benefit. My suggestion to you is if you have less than 15 years left on your loan, look for a 10-year loan. See if you can refinance into a 10-year loan. If you're under 10 years, it probably doesn't make sense to refinance, but you can take a gamble and look and just see. If you are short on cash, however, and you can refinance, let's say you're at 10 years left on your loan and you can refinance to a 15-year or a 30-year and save yourself even more cash, and that's going to get you out of a tough spot, go ahead and do that. Because on my four rules for a home run refinance, you don't have to hit all four to make it an okay deal. It could be three or even two, and it would be a good deal for you. I just want to make sure that you watch your closing costs and remember that if your credit is really good, your credit score is high, that's where you're going to get the very best rate, loan terms, etc. So go to Equifax, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, sign up for their free accounts, see what they're saying about your credit score, and you can go from there. All right, it is time for the Wintrust Business Minute, and here's Dave Schwann.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. If you're driving on Illinois roadways for the holidays, you definitely won't be alone. AAA says up to 4 million people will be on Illinois roads between now and January 3rd. Need a last-minute gift idea? Illinois Treasurer Mike Frerich suggests giving the gift of college. Kids can benefit from your contribution to a Bright Start College savings account. It can be used for college tuition, books, and more. For more information, go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov. CME Group will announce earnings for the fourth quarter and full year of 2020 before the markets open on Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. Written highlights for the quarter and year will be posted on the company's website on that date at 6 a.m., the same time it provides its earnings press release. I'm Dave Schwann, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks, Dave. Why don't we do a quick check of traffic and the markets? Ryan?
Yeah, taking a look at the markets, and they are closed right now. It was a half day due to the Christmas Eve holiday. The Dow finishing the day up 70 points, S&P 500 up 13, and the NASDAQ up 33.
Thank you. And Gabe, do you have traffic for us?
Yes, I do. And right now that crash on the inbound into Dempster has been cleared, but there's still a slight delay as you approach Dempster. It's a 20-minute drive from Lake Cook Road to the Kennedy. And we're also seeing delays now on the outbound Stevenson from Damon to Cicero. It'll take you 34 minutes to get from Lakeshore Drive to the Veterans Memorial Tollway. 31 minutes back to Lakeshore Drive. You're a little bit slow as you approach the Dan Ryan ramp. I'm Gabe Salgado for WGN Traffic Central.
Thank you, Gabe. We're going to take a short break, and then we're coming back with WGN reporter Amy Guth next on 720 WGN. This is from my favorite Christmas movie, White Christmas. Oh, I love it. I've already got it all lined up. I'm watching it tomorrow morning. Then, of course, we're going to watch, you have to watch this, Wonder Woman 1984, which, by the way, got awesome reviews. So I can't wait for that. So many great Christmas movies. I put them all up on our Facebook page. They're on King John's Facebook page as well. So feel free to go there as well. Amy Guth joins me now. So, Amy, Merry Christmas. You got her on line one. All right, let's try now. Amy, you there?
Hi. Let's try this on the phone, shall we?
You know what? New technology, old technology. Poor Brandon, he's having a heart attack now. And all I really wanted to start with is asking you what your Christmas holiday traditions are.
Oh, well, so I'm Team Hanukkah, so it's all about Chinese food on Christmas. That's what I'm all about. But I do love those cozy, wonderful Christmas movies. So last night, I did watch the 1935 Christmas Carol, the old one. It was just so good.
Oh.
And of course, I had to watch It's a Wonderful Life. That's just like, that's a feel good for anybody. So had all the feels last night with those two cozy ones.
Oh, that sounds really nice. Well, I hope the next couple of days are merry and bright for you.
Thank you.
However,
you too.
Thank you. All right. So let's turn to business for a few minutes before we run out of time. So an Amazon warehouse sold for $42 million. Why did this surprise you, or does it?
Yeah. Well, it kind of doesn't. What it does, though, is really underscores just how valuable Amazon is for commercial landlords. It's kind of the one bright spot of commercial real estate right now. We saw hotels and restaurants really, really, really struggle this year amid the pandemic. But But commercial, industrial sort of spaces, shipping, supplies, things like that really did unbelievably well, with Amazon kind of leading that. Here and other major metros, their strategy is to kind of ring the city with these so-called kind of last mile distribution centers. This sucked up several million square feet of space just in the last couple of years here around Chicago, just kind of circling the area. One up in Kenosha to kind of also serve Milwaukee, the area, things
right.
like that. But this Amazon warehouse that sold for $42 million, that's $132 a square foot. That is up there in terms of big record setting. So it's one of the most expensive local industrial property deals of the year. It's really kind of illustrating just how much commercial landlords want the security of Amazon as a tenant with their, you know, with their value as a company, their stock market capitalization of $1.6 trillion. That's not a shabby company to have on your, you know, as a tenant list. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, at some point, Amazon will have all the space they need in theory, but every time I think, okay, this is where they're going to stop.
Will they have all the space they need?
I know, exactly.
And, you know, so, one of the things to I think you have to just, you know, sort of say, and I think this was true for Kenosha, is that they've been picking places that are, you know, have a really solid workforce that yeah. is underutilized. And so what you tend to see is those $15 and then upward jobs that come into an area like Kenosha can be a real economic boost for that industry, that area.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Amazon entering markets and ringing cities has not gone without incident, especially not here. They're a big company, so they have a big target on them. So there's some people that are pushing back against the environmental impact. Certain aldermen and mayors have said, hey, I don't want a bunch of semi-trucks coming in and out of this intersection. It's already crowded. I don't want all that pollution. We've seen things like that. We've seen some experts have said, hey, you know, these jobs are not that great or that stable. There was a little bit of a stir early this year, late last year, about how there a lot of the staffing needs are met through temping agencies. So it's this promise of, okay, work 90 days at $15 an hour, and then you get this bigger job. But instead of hiring you officially and moving you to a bigger job, some temp companies would reassign you and then bring you right back and keep you at that $15 an hour. So it's not without its hiccups, but, you know, I like you said, is it going to be enough? At what point will Amazon have all the space they need? I'm not sure. But as the pandemic accelerated online shopping behavior, what was already happening anyway, we saw so many retailers really impacted by that. I think e-commerce is really just having a boom time, and they're only going to continue for a while.
No, I think that's right. And speaking of which, Walmart.com has had an incredibly good year. Everybody said, well, can Walmart really compete with Amazon? But the answer seems to be yes. And now they're launching, and this is perfect timing, of course, for day after Christmas returns, they're launching a new return service. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I completely agree with you. When Walmart first was trying to take on Amazon, I thought, it's so big, you know, Amazon's so big and they already have that infrastructure. How can Walmart catch up? Standing here eating my words, because Walmart and their online, their e-commerce platform, their Walmart Plus program has really done wonderfully this year. So this new thing is definitely a feather in their cap to compete with Amazon. And that is an option called Carrier Pickup by FedEx, which is exactly what it sounds like. Rather than if you get a gift you don't want, as long as it was purchased on Walmart.com, you can select that option, print a label, schedule a date for pickup, and someone from FedEx will come to your house and get it. You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to do anything. You just print the shipping label, and off you go. Schedule the date that you want it. You can do it on the app or the website. If you don't have a printer, you can return it to any FedEx place, any, you know, FedEx location, and use a QR code from Walmart's website, and then the FedEx worker would then print a return label, and it's shipped right back. I feel like there's something similar at Amazon. So I feel like this is kind of a leveling up to catch up with Amazon move. But it's also, in looking at both of them, the one from Amazon that's powered by UPS is a little harder to get to than the one on Walmart. And Walmart's really putting it kind of right out front and timing it really well, saying, hey, we know there's going to be returns this time of year.
Yeah.
Let's make it really easy.
Yeah, it's definitely a competitive edge. Well, Amy, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I will talk to you again very soon. But in the meantime, if I don't talk to you before, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us today on the Wintrust Business Lunch and, of course, John Williams' regular show. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.